A body pulled from the East River on Sunday was confirmed today as that of actor and writer Spalding Gray. The New York City Medical Examiner made the identification through dental records. Gray, who was 62, was reported missing more than 2 months ago. He was best known for his autobiographical monologues, especially Swimming to Cambodia. A film version in 1987 became an art house hit and made Gray an unlikely celebrity. NPR's Neda Ulaby has this appreciation.
In Swimming to Cambodia, Spalding Gray said he so badly wanted a role in the 1984 movie The Killing Fields, it strangely affected his behavior.
Threes became a crucial, very important magical number. I was going 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, and knocking on wood when I could find wood. Fine wood, six sets of nine and six and three and nine, snapping on my way to the supermarket to buy soup. Six sets of nine, nine times. Every third can was fine. The first two cans of soup had botulism, you see, or cyanide. And I thought, you know, Spalding, you're going to end up in the insane asylum before you get the role in the film.
Gray did get a small role, and he turned that experience into a meta-reflection on life, art, and global politics. Swimming to Cambodia helped make monologues a popular art form and spawned hordes of imitators. Gray made his name in New York's downtown theater scene where he co-founded the Wooster Group. That's now a respected home for experimental theater, but in a 1999 NPR interview, Gray said he was actually a bit old-fashioned.
I don't think of myself as a performance artist, but I think of myself as an actor who's playing myself and was really trained in traditional acting.
Yet Gray was also influenced by the minimalist movement, says James Leverett. He teaches at the Yale School of Drama, and he knew Spalding Gray for over 20 years. He says Gray's performances epitomized the minimalist aesthetic.
Spalding coming out with his notebook, sitting down in a chair at a table, taking this perfectly calibrated sip of water, and opening the notebook and beginning.
In the summer of 1982, 83, and 84, my girlfriend Renee and I rented a cabin in upstate New York in Crumville, K-R-U-M-V-I-L-L-E.
In the 1988 monologue, Terrors of Pleasure, Spalding Gray describes the countless problems that came with the cabin, like the tubers on a nearby river.
And in case you don't know what tubers are, they are great, oversized men, women, and children that float down that river in herds on weekdays, hordes on weekends, and these great oversized truck inner tubes with six packs of Budweiser in their laps, drinking all the way.
Gray's fluid, deceptively simple style pushed autobiography past the point of confession. Gray said his work demanded both bravado and vulnerability.
I've always said that I would rather tell a life than live a life, but I have to live a life in order to tell one.
Gray's life was processed in public. His relationships and breakups, his youth in Rhode Island, and his wanderings in the counterculture. One story he returned to over and over was his mother's suicide.
To this day, I can never really get angry at my mother for killing herself, although people tell me that's the healthiest thing to do. I mean, I saw her as being very, you know, psychotic. It was something that had to be done.
Gray himself struggled with depression and anxiety throughout his life, and it worsened as he aged. He sold a beloved house right before September 11th. In an NPR interview shortly afterward, he said losing the house in combination with the tragedy made him too distressed to pursue what would have been a natural story for him.
I saw some firemen on the boat, on the ferry, that had, you know, saved a survivor. Someone had survived, and they were very high from that. If I was more open, I would have gone up to them and said, hey, what's happening down there? I would have been my old curious self. But I was kind of like shut down like a clam.
Gray tried reconnecting with his audiences even after a horrific car crash in Ireland in 2002 left him with a shattered skull. After reconstructive surgery, he began working again. He said talk therapy, as he called his monologues, helped him recycle negative energy.
I still keep thinking that I'm not me. That the Spalding Gray that was there just seconds before the accident will soon come back. And I begin to feel the depression setting in. And I don't know who to speak to. I don't know if the Irish acknowledge depression.
Gray was hospitalized twice for depression after the crash. And in 2002, he tried to commit suicide by jumping off a bridge. What Gray leaves behind is an art stripped down to the bare essentials, a voice, a table, a chair. With those, he showed how much could be made of very little. And Spalding Gray, who was also a student of Buddhism, might also point out how vast that bareness can be. Neda Ulaby, NPR News.
This is All Things Considered from NPR News.